This is Cape Talk.
You know, leading to this conversation that we are talking about today, you have Keith Blake saying that, you know, the economy is where we are because we are to blame, because we voted in a political party that we were hoping that was going to lead us into the promised land, but they didn't. And many of us have been saying that, you know what? To hell with political parties, maybe allow individual candidates to stand. But that being said, we are two elections away from government's 2020 targeted to achieve perfect gender parity in parliament. Now, couple this with the fact that the Concord opened the door for independent candidates to enter the fold. Are we ready for an independent female voice or candidate? I say yes. I'm even bothered that we are even asking this question. But that said, for more insight on this, we are joined by gender expert Nomkhita Gijsman. Nomkhita, good morning. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sis Nomkhita, how can the Concord ruling impact female representation on the political scene?
This is a very good question that you are raising, because since the passing of the judgment, I've never heard of anyone of the analysts that were interviewed looking at the impact of the Concord ruling on 50-50 gender parity goal. It's got two sides, because if you read the judgment, it gives the South African government to go back to its drawing boards, I think for 2 years, to review the judgment and to review the current electoral system, to see to it that it allows independent candidates, and perhaps also allowing a constituency-based electoral system. The two sides I'm talking about, it can work well for women, to give government an opportunity to look at the question of 50-50 gender parity, because presently it's there as a policy of the SADC, and countries have signed up, but countries don't implement it, including South Africa. It depends on each political party whether it wants to do it or not. When they look at the ruling and correcting the electoral system, the government will get an opportunity to see to it that they amend the whole electoral system to be friendly towards women. And that can be done by two ways: to retain at one of the houses, like at the National Assembly, the PR system, and perhaps at the National Council, go the constituency-based electoral system. That will mean that all the parties will be forced to ensure that they have 50-50 and women have got an opportunity. But if you say both houses, go out to the field and go and canvass for yourself, women will struggle. They will struggle in the sense that elections alone is a very expensive business in terms of budget, and not every woman will be able to fund herself. They will depend on the political parties. And those that will go alone as single candidates will really struggle. And the next question to ask, what kind of electorate that is there? Are people who are to vote ready for female candidates? That is going to be a big challenge for women. So while we are happy that there's going to be big accountability by a public representative, we need to look at it. What does it mean for women? It's good in the sense that if the government has properly amended the electoral system to be friendly towards women, if it's all community-based or constituency-based system, women are going to struggle because of attitudes that are there and financial implications that are there. And also financial implications, because it involves quite a number of things when we talk of finances.
So what you're saying is you know, we may talk a good game in South Africa. We talk about 50-50 representation, but these are just policies for show. No one is in fact pushing for them to actually be a reality. You're also saying that if we even think about independent candidates, where's the funding going to come from females? Because we're already seeing them struggling now, even before there's talk about individual candidates. And you also talk about the electorate. You're saying the people that are voting we are a nation that still sees women, perhaps many of us that still sees women as not real politicians, and we're having a frank conversation here. So the question then becomes, and in a very short space of time, when Nomkhita, what needs to change? What do we need to do?
As I said, the judgment gives government 2 years to amend the present electoral system. I think that's the starting point where I say if they go the constituency-based system, it should not cut across. They should adopt an approach like Namibia. Namibia uses both, a mixture for the National Council, which other people, countries call it a Senate. They use a constituency-based. And then for the National Assembly, they use a PR system, proportional representation, which means if it's a PR system, the policy or the act that the government is going to come up with, it must ensure that it emphasizes that every political party uses the 50-50, and it should go on to say not just 50-50, because it can have the downside of it. If it's 200 candidates, men can be put as the first 100 and then women as the last 100, which means if they get 50 seats, only men will come in. They introduce what is called the zebra listing, where a man alternates a woman alternates a man. You have a man, you have a woman, and then you have your 50-50. That should be made a policy. It should not be negotiable, and it should be done by all political parties. And then you do the constituency base in another house, that is the National Council of provinces. I've given an example of Namibia, which is working very well. And I wanted to also, maybe if we use the constituency-based system, I know Malawi tried it, but it didn't take off before they went to elections last year. Yeah. Constituencies that are declared for women. If Party A sends a woman candidate, all parties should be expected to send only women candidates in those.
So Nomkhita, unfortunately, I have run out of time. This is a very interesting conversation, but thank you so very much for joining us on the show. Nomkhita Geismann, agenda expert.